Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time, we step into Christmas to talk about the festive shopping and property trends in some of London's top neighbourhoods. The Christmas lights have been switched on along Oxford Street, Regent Street, Piccadilly, Marylebone High Street and down London's other main shopping haunts. Tis the season to be jolly, to shop, eat out, or just enjoy the scene. But although all London neighbourhoods would say that they put on a good show for Christmas, some give it extra razzle-dazzle. In this episode, we'll be heading to two of those locations in the company of experts who know these areas like the back of their hand and can tell us all about the latest property trends. But this is also a time when we like to explore, to go out and about to places that aren't our usual haunts. Where are the top spots to see? And what are the events for which we should be making a booking now? To join me on this festive December journey, I'm joined by Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth, Bella Ruppel from Winkworth South Kensington, Charles Irwin of Winkworth Notting Hill, and also by Carla Pacino, Arts Editor of Country Life magazine. But first, over to you, Dominic, for a quick introduction. We're nearly at the end of 2024. Looking back on the year, how's it been for you at Winkworth?
It's been quite the year, hasn't it, with the events we've had. We've had elections and budgets and wars, and it's been bizarre. But despite that, it's been incredibly resilient. And I think we're ending the year from a property market perspective in a good place, really. It seems to have retained its popularity throughout all of those moments. And we're seeing things pick up now they're sort of moving to the rearview mirror.
What would your message be for your clients this Christmas?
I think it's going to be a sort of happier Christmas than perhaps we've seen for a few years. I think there's lots of reasons why people will be catching up on buying and selling properties from the year which they paused on. So I think we'll be pretty busy, and there'll be lots of people pushing to get into their new home to toast on Christmas Day.
We'll be decking the halls with boughs of holly and all that kind of thing. But should we also start house hunting now?
I think so. I think there's actually, one of the budget sort of implications was that the stamp duty for first-time buyers will be changing. So there'll be a little bit of an extra cost, around £6,000 for a first-time buyer come April next year. So there's a very good reason, particularly if you're selling your flat, to take advantage of this window, I suppose, and pop it on the market now. And you'll find that demand will be quite strong, as those people would rather spend that money on perhaps their new kitchen than have to give it away. So that, and obviously there's been the traditional, growing tradition, that the digital world tradition, is that Boxing Day is ever important for particularly, the house market. We wait for the daffodils because that's when they look their best. But flats in particular, it's become more of a trend to list your property online and for those recovering from Christmas Day to scroll through and find their next home.
Talking about recovering from Christmas Day, I'm going to ask you the two questions that we're going to be asking everyone in this special festive podcast. For you, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without...
So I think a Christmas tree is probably an essential part, as big as possible, that sort of, feels... It used to be much more obnoxiously decorated, but my wife's put an end to that. So it's now very tastefully decorated, but a giant, as big as possible to fit in the room, I think, is an essential thing to have in your sitting room as you maybe watch a Christmas movie.
So it's white lights rather than the vast flashing neon Santa.
Yes, I feel we've gone through the tinsel era, haven't we? That was a big colourful tinsel. It was probably the 90s, wasn't it? But yes, no, it's all simple and white, and I wait to see the design that's produced for me.
Your favourite Christmas food?
So, my favourite Christmas food, I see Christmas Day as a jigsaw of different food. I think there is a rhythm that over the years I've perfected. So it starts at breakfast with the boiled egg and then moves to the smoked salmon snacks before, you know, the main event, and then drifting into a ham and mustard sandwich in the evening. So I've got a bit of a routine there. But as a single item, I would say devils on horseback are an annual treat on Christmas Day.
And for those who don't know about that particular Christmas indulgence, what does that involve?
So it's a prune wrapped in bacon. So, they're just sort of salty, delicious, with a sweet centre.
So a more sophisticated pig in blanket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sort of alternative. I mean, you have those two, obviously. So it's I wouldn't deny a pig in blanket for a devil on horseback, but it's nice to have both.
I'm hungry already. Dominic, thanks for that. And thanks for making us feel all really hungry. But let's narrow it down to a couple of our favourite London neighbourhoods. We'll come to the Christmas bit in a moment. But first to you, Bella. Your patch is South Kensington. For those who don't know this area, can you give us a quick tour? Where does it start and where does it end?
So we stretch all the way from kind of Kensington Gardens, Hyde Park, all the way down to the river. So encompassing Earl's Court, South Ken, little delightful little area, the estate agent term of West Chelsea, with a 10-acre estate. And then across to the border with Fulham and up to kind of Sloane Square, Chelsea.
So, all some beautiful neighbourhoods. We're moving down Kensington High Street, all those lovely roads around there, moving down to the river, to Chelsea, a bit of Fulham, mm-hmm. and Earl's Court with all those gorgeous mansion flats. So, what an area that is. Can you give us an idea of the range of properties that anybody who was looking for a house could find?
All sorts. I mean, where we're very lucky, it's such a beautiful historic area. So kind of famous for the white stucco buildings where you get your beautiful kind of first floor flats with high ceilings, big windows. But then you also get your wonderful muse houses on little cobbled streets and the big family houses as well.
So, and a huge variety of architecture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of periods of house would you find?
I mean, you're looking from Georgian to Victorian. A wide range, but all probably period properties.
And there are some modern developments, yes?
Not a huge amount. You do, I mean, particularly down around Lotts Road, that area, kind of Chelsea Wharf. You've got some amazing, amazing new builds there. But kind of our real hub is the stunning kind of Victorian Georgian properties.
And can you just give us two top addresses, two roads that people come to you and say, Bella, I'd really love to live there?
Cornwall Gardens is beautiful. You've got a stunning garden square that's immaculately maintained, and that's your very classic listed white stucco buildings. And then also the houses around the 10-acre estate in particular, which is West Chelsea. Family houses, beautiful family houses.
So Cornwall Gardens, what's the nearest landmark to that?
You're moments there from Kensington Gardens. So you're kind of sandwiched between Hyde Park and Gloucester Road.
And the estate that you mentioned, where is that near?
10-acre estate, it's just north of the King's Road. So kind of the end of the King's Road leading towards Fulham and kind of in the kink, basically, World's End bit. But you've got, it's just a lovely little kind of toast rack of streets with some beautiful family houses.
So the price of admission to this wonderful area, what is it?
You're looking for a good two-bed flat, you're looking starting around 1.2 million. And for a family house, for a house in the 10-acre, you're looking kind of between 3.5 million and 4.5. But then you can range all the way up for the big detached houses on Tregunta Road. You're looking up to, gosh, 30 million plus.
And north of that, I've heard.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If you get up to the Boltons, where you've got these mammoth mansions, you're looking way north of that.
So 80 million, 100 million?
I mean, yeah, around that level. Yeah.
Christmas is big in Kensington. Mm-hmm. Where are the highlights? Which places should we put on our Christmas list of things to see?
My personal favourite is at the Natural History Museum. They put a Christmas jumper on the T-Rex. And that is something that I think everyone needs to see at least once. And actually, the Natural History Museum are doing a kind of Christmas special where you can do a kind of walking tour. It's a themed walking tour through the exhibits. So they're doing that. Winter Wonderland in Hyde Park. Always good fun. They've got little Christmas markets, good food stands, and there's a bit called the Bavarian Village, which if you fancy a party and a bit of a sing-along, that's the place to go.
I'm in the mood already. And when we were talking beforehand, you said you're really looking forward to the decorations going up outside some of those houses.
Oh, yes. The Boltons and Tregunta Road in particular. I mean, as a child, as a family, we used to drive around in a taxi and kind of look at all the sights and the lights. And the Boltons never ceases to amaze me.
There is one house where they put a vast red bow outside it.
Yeah, and that is still there every year. It's a bit of a favourite. But there's also, I think it's the house a couple of doors down that... They have kind of the little toy soldiers and they have carols playing, I mean, virtually 24/7 blaring from the house. So always a flock of people looking at that.
Don't you just love people who know how to step into Christmas? Now, yeah. We were also talking about how Winkworth was getting involved in the local celebrations.
Yes. So we're working with one of our local schools, Bousfield, which is a superb local school. Located actually on the Boltons, and we are sponsoring their winter fair, and we've actually agreed to pay for some reindeer to attend, so yeah, you can come and get your photo taken and stroke a reindeer.
Right, so Rudolph this year is sponsored by Winkworth.
Absolutely, that's the tagline.
Against all this merriment, are there people shopping for houses? We hear the Americans are in town and they've decided the pound is quite weak. So now is their time to move to Chelsea or Kensington?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just have to look online and there's a lot of talk of people wanting to make the move permanently. Perhaps people that dropped in and out, you know, kind of went back and forth. But now we're looking to move to London more permanently. And Kensington and Chelsea in particular will always attract those kind of buyers.
And what do they look for? White stucco or do they like a bit of Victorian?
A bit of both, I would say. I mean, the white stucco, the grandeur of being in a white stucco property. And I think a lot of them do like the period features, but it needs to be done to a good standard. It needs to be modernised. And yeah.
Relevant. So no faded grandeur then?
Not particularly, no. All the bells and whistles, I would say.
So white stucco with every single modern convenience. Now, yeah. I'm asking everybody these two questions. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without...
Family games, for me. I had to think about this one, but that always, we do a lot of family. I have a big family. And charades is a particular favourite. And what else? I mean, we do a Christmas quiz after our big Christmas meal. So, yeah, I love all the games.
I think it's all round to Bella's this Christmas, actually. I think that sounds really good. And your favourite Christmas food?
Oh, mince pies. Love mince pies. But I have to wait until the 1st of December. I'm gone.
I don't know if you've heard this, but apparently Gen Z doesn't like mince pies. They don't like vine fruits. So now you
sacrilege.
Yeah, well, I think so too. The mince pie with brandy butter. Mm-hmm. And they'd rather have panettone than Christmas cake, Christmas pudding or mince pies.
No, No, mince pies for me, all round.
Right, feeling even hungrier, I'm turning to you, Charles. You're based in Notting Hill. It's well known globally, but remind us, who lives there? What type of properties would you find, and what are the major landmarks?
Well, as you know, it's a really eclectic area. Lots of different coloured houses and different people. I mean, our main market is we get lots of British people, lots of Europeans, Italians, Spanish, French are the main ones. Australians love Notting Hill and, of course, Americans. So that's the real mix.
Is it because it represents for them the quintessential London village with Westbourne Grove, those beautiful coloured houses? What exactly is it in Notting Hill that draws them in?
I think there's a number of different things for the people that live there. It has retained its village feel massively. Westbourne Grove has really kept that sort of nice family feel. There's a number of really good schools, both public and state. So that's a draw as well. Close to the park, like South Ken, but very close to the park. So for us, your Sunday stroll. And there's a range of different properties as well. So I think if you're moving to London from abroad, it sort of represents the sort of, as you say, quintessential London postcode.
So it's not just the movie that made Notting Hill. When you get there, it really does feel like a village, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. We don't have that much traffic through West. People think of sometimes of Notting Hill as Notting Hill Gate, and they get out of the tube and are terribly disappointed when they see this big road running through. But if you carry on walking, you'll get to Westbourne Grove and Portobello Road, and that's where the area really comes into its own. If you can sidestep all the Instagrammers taking photos outside the coloured houses.
It is true, a walk down Kensington Park Road, I thought I wasn't be able to get down towards Westbourne Grove. There were so many people taking pictures. And in the next few weeks, they're going to be taking pictures of those great decorations that go up Absolutely. Around those houses. Tell us more about those.
So it's become a bit of a competition, not just at Christmas. I mean, we have neighbourhoods and streets that get completely transformed. Halloween, Thanksgiving and Christmas are the three major ones. So we're now moving from Halloween into Thanksgiving and then we'll move into Christmas. But you can see already the Christmas decorations going up. And it's a competition between each house and the next, particularly on the communal gardens and the larger houses, Elgin Crescent, Lansdowne, Blenheim Crescent. And you can really tell where people have hired in professional companies to do their decorations for them. And it's getting bigger and bigger each year, but it is fantastic.
Give us a picture of what kind of decorations are involved.
So we've got wreaths, lots of greenery, fresh flowers, you know, sort of dried and fresh flowers going up the pillars. Like Bella was saying, with the little toy soldiers with music playing behind them. Some people light up their whole houses with moving lights. There's a whole range.
So it isn't necessarily hugely tasteful. It's actually quite over the top.
I couldn't possibly say.
But it's not restrained.
Not at all. You can sort of tell who lives where or where they're from the decorations outside. The Americans love to go all out. The British, it's more sort of a nice wreath on the door and a big Christmas tree in the bay window. But they're getting more and more into it as the years go on.
So decoration rivalry in Notting Hill. Now, there's a story. And I'm hearing that Winkworth's getting involved in all this decoration and all this celebration.
So, yeah, we have a lovely position on Westbourne Grove, down the road from Dalesford, who sort of win the competition every year with their reindeers and mulled wine parties outside in Westbourne Grove. But we have big wreaths and big lights outside our offices. And it's a really good time of the year too. We have a very much so an open door policy and our clients retaining that village feel, pop in and see us, bring in their children. So we always make sure we have drinks and mince pies on the go for whoever wants to pop in and have a chat.
I'm really in the Christmas mood now. And that brings me to those two questions that I'm asking everyone. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without.
So for me, since moving to London about 10 years ago, every year I make a real effort to go into Carnaby Street, Regent Street and Mayfair and just take in all the lights because they are absolutely spectacular. And just walk around, maybe stop for a pint of Guinness somewhere and take it all in.
My suggestion this year would be Monmouth Street at Seven Dials. It looks absolutely beautiful. I was down there the other night. There was a real feeling of revelry already beginning. And your favourite Christmas food?
So I had to think long and hard about this, but it's got to be Christmas ham, because it's just a gift that keeps on giving. It's lovely warm on Christmas Day, and then as it gets colder, perfect in sandwiches for all those lazing around days afterwards.
So I'm seeing a vast Christmas ham with cloves stuck in it.
Absolutely. A la Nigella, cooked in Coca-Cola.
Yummy. And would you have some of that with your Christmas dinner?
Oh yeah, have to.
If you're now not only hungry, but in the mood to make some really special Christmas plans, we have someone who's going to be our guide. So let's turn to you now, Carla Pacino. You're an Italian who fell in love with London and writes the London Life section for Country Life magazine. So you're really someone with their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the capital, especially at Christmas. First, your top Christmas shopping streets.
That's the trickiest question you could ask me, because there are so many. I would say the obvious ones, so Old Brompton Road and Bond Street. I absolutely love Shapiro Rare Books. They've got a brilliant, highly decorated edition of A Christmas Carol that I put in my Country Life pages, and I really would like to have. Hey, husband, if you're listening to me. Just saying. Otherwise, I'd say Piccadilly. Piccadilly is brilliant for, obviously, Fordham and Mason, the window shopping, but also their teas and more books. I'm slightly obsessed with books. So it would be the massive Waterstone. There's Hatchards, obviously, and there's Thomas Hinnage that has those rare art books just down the road in Duke Street. And Covent Garden. I particularly like the Jubilee Market because it has all sorts of arts and crafts and collectibles. There's a darling little stall that sells dolls, limited edition dolls, and there are all these old ladies sat on armchairs with gin in their hand, which totally resonates with me for no reason particularly. And then of course the Regent Street with Liberty, because that's for me the best place to buy the decorations, you know, whether it's baubles or little Santas or other stuff. They, I think they've got the choicest. And Marylebone for everything else, so candles at Ortigia, the ribbons at Vivi Rouleau. That's really it.
Marylebone High Street, for those who don't know it, is always a gorgeous shopping street at Christmas. And you just very easily reach by walking down Marylebone Lane from Bond Street. If you don't know it, go there and enjoy it. What would be the place that would win your prize for the very best Christmas lights?
Again, sort of an obvious one is Kew Gardens, which is a little bit out of the way for some, but it still has some of the very best in the capital. I've been already, and they have an installation of leaping fish where there's lights hovering over the water. It's absolutely gorgeous. So that would be my number one choice. But in town, I have a soft spot for Regent Street, because that's where the lights started in 1954. And Carnaby Street, because they're just the wackiest and dizzier. They look a little bit like spaceships. They're meant to be stars, I think, but they generally look a bit like the International Space Station.
That's so interesting you say that. Can you imagine when those Christmas lights first went on in 1954, in that grey period, how wonderful that must have been?
I think there were a lot of articles. I remember writing something for Country Life about it. There were a lot of articles that, you know, it really was mind-blowing for people. There had been some individual lights before, so Selfridges, because obviously it had been owned by an American, and they'd brought in some kind of American-style lighting and decoration. But it was the first time there was an entire street. It was proper lighting. It must have been incredible. We're so used to it and a little bit, you know, jaded, but imagine going back and it's like suddenly all these lights come on. It must have been like a fairy tale.
The great thing about the Christmas lights is that they're there for free. You can just take the bus into the centre of London and stare upwards in wonder and really hope that the people who are Instagramming them don't get knocked over by the bus you just got off. That's a free treat. What are your other treats for nothing in the capital now?
I essentially would have said exactly that. I would have said exactly sort of take a long, lovely walking tour of central London in the evening, Piccadilly, Regent Street, Covent Garden, because and just look up. don't let a bus run over you, but look up, because that's absolutely amazing. And another thing I think that I would do is just walk down the South Bank, because there's so much happening around, you know, the South Bank Centre that is free, little shows, there's music, and you can just window shop. There's a festive market there that is gorgeous. You don't need to buy anything. It's just lovely to look at stuff there.
So just wrap up warm and just go out and see everything. Now, the stuff you need to book for, the shows, the performances, the special events, what would be your top choices?
I am going to surprise you. Well, of course, A Christmas Carol. It has to be A Christmas Carol because it's so seasonal. And I love the Old Vic production. And I'm now going to try and see another one at the Charles Dickens Museum in Doughty Street, which I think is going to be special because it's happening in the house of the man that invented Christmas as we know it, pretty much. But another tradition that I especially like, and it's going to surprise you because it's not very necessarily Christmassy, but it's to go to the Actors' Church in Covent Garden and listen to musicals by candlelight. It's just my thing. You know, they have musicals by candlelight at Christmas, a special program in a church that is by actors, for actors. And it's just the most extraordinary experience you will have. They also do carols if you want something a bit more traditional. But I absolutely warmly recommend the musicals, and it costs really little. So it's not even a prohibitive experience. It's just great. I think it's gorgeous. And of course, you know, if you like, you know, at the opposite end of the price spectrum, if you like the ballet, there's, you know, the Royal Ballet, the Cinderella, which I'm really looking forward to.
So something for everyone, and something in Doughty Street, in that area near Gray's Inn Road, near Holborn, where Charles Dickens lived and where he essentially invented what we know as Christmas.
Yes, definitely. And it's also beautifully decorated, which helps. You know, the house, it does a massive Christmas.
And let's remember at that time, Britain was in the middle of a mini ice age, so it actually did snow. And he has given us that idea of Christmas. Now, what if somebody's listening to this and they're feeling a bit grinchy and saying they're not in the Christmas mood? Where would you say they should head now?
I think the best place is, if it's cold or it's raining, it's to go to a museum and pick an exhibition that is really not Christmassy. So my recommendation just now would be the Muggles at the V&A, because it's absolutely brilliant. It's, you know, incredibly interesting. And it doesn't have a single bit of Christmas, obviously, it being about, you know, the sort of 16th century and 17th century Muslim rulers. But if it's not raining and you feel like walking, I would say The Line, which is a public art trail, and it goes from about sort of Stratford to Greenwich, essentially. You can do it longer or shorter. It's quite a long walk if you do it all. It's beautiful. You see extraordinary art. It's free. And again, it's not particularly Christmassy. You don't even see shops because a lot of it is just a walk in nature. So I think that would be my pick, yes.
I'm a Londoner and I think I know where some of the best things are, but you've introduced me to a lot more. I'm going to have a really great Christmas. And now we've had two questions that I've asked everybody. Christmas for you wouldn't be Christmas without?
Mulled wine.
White or red mulled wine?
Red. I don't hold track with this business about white mulled wine. I'm sorry. It's just not me. You know, it needs to be red. It needs to be really, really intensely flavoured. It has to have, you know, lots of spices, lots of orangey flavours in them, and no white. Sorry.
And as an Italian, would you be having some panettone with that?
That would be my pick for food. Yes, yes. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas food-wise without panettone. I definitely would have it.
But not just any old panettone.
No. So my favourite is Fiasconaro, which is an Italian brand. It's not particularly well known, but it is the best. I was very sceptical when initially I came across it because it's from Sicily. And panettone, of course, is from the north of Italy, from Milan. So I thought, you know, will a Sicilian company be able to do good panettone? But actually, it's mind-blowing. Go for it if you find it. A lot of Italian, really good Italian delis have it. So definitely go for it if you find it.
I've stepped into Christmas. Well, plenty to get our teeth into there, and that about wraps it up.
So from all the Property Exchange podcast team, we wish you a happy and peaceful festive season. Do join us again in 2025.
Merry Christmas!
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.